Everything is awesome. Isn't that a song from a Lego game?
Yeah.
Give it to us real quick, Kenny.
The entire movie?
No, the song.
Okay. Screen is black. Cut.
Welcome to New Game Plus. You're listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
Nolan.
And this is episode 181.
And you're going to want to stick around to the end of the episode because we have some really exciting news. And if you miss it, well, we're never going to tell you anywhere else. So you should probably just listen to the whole thing. Don't skip.
Juicy, juicy.
Juicy juice.
Oh, no.
Yeah, let's
go. Epic Games, creators of the popular...
Is this the conversation we're having?
I love it.
Creators of the popular game Fortnite have bought Psyonix, creators of the far superior game Rocket League.
Yes.
It's funny because it's true.
While you might instantly think, yay, more funds, bigger development teams, this is going to be great. Do know that beginning in late 2019, Epic will bring Rocket League to Epic's PC storefront, meaning it will no longer be available on Valve's competing store, Steam. You know, the store that is like friendly to all games and all developers that's trying to bring them to all one library.
I never heard of it. I don't think I would like Steam.
Probably not.
Didn't they say, though, that you would still be able to play it on Steam, or is that just like a lie?
Yeah, so from they actually, I believe they had to go back and edit their like release statement and say something along those lines and communicate that you are still going to be able to play it, and they said it's still going to be supported. It just won't be available to purchase on there. But like, I've got a question. I don't know. I've got so many questions about that.
What's your first one? I don't have questions.
Why?
I just have things to say.
I mean, so why? But then also like. I don't know. I feel like at some point they're not going to fully develop and keep Steam up to date if they're wanting to get people over to play on Valve. And then is there going to be any problems with the Steam players playing with people? Like, do you see what I'm saying?
There's so many people that already play it through Steam because they own it. There's no way they could not have it supported.
Yeah,
they
they're not going to steal the player base and take them to Epic Games or whatever.
Exactly. They just think it's a big play to get people using their store. Like, they're paying to get that audience for people who want it in the future to be
on
their experience.
It'll happen again. Epic is now a conglomerate. They're going to turn into the next massive, like EA. I'm not saying they're always going to be corrupt, or if they even are now, I'm just not a fan of their game library, except, well, their recent game library. They actually made Jazz Jackrabbit. Did y'all know that? But
I
obviously,
did not remember that.
I am a big fan
of their game Rocket League.
No, it's a Psyonix game, and that game sucks too.
Well, I don't know who to be more upset with. Well, yeah, I do. Epic, but Epic or Psyonix. But this person did. I took down a quote, and I've bleeped out some of the words. But they said this. Blank is why Epic receives so much hate. This competition strategy is an asinine capitalist nightmare that does nothing but damage the freedom of the consumer. How does this benefit the players in any way, shape, or form? What do I gain from this? What about the people all over the world who now need to pay more money if they want to buy the game due to Epic not supporting their local currency or flat out not being available in their region at all? What about the workshop support? What about Linux users? Was the money the Rocket League team got from 10 billion sales not enough? And now they need all the bleep money. And then Tim Sweeney and his merry gang of people have the audacity to say that they're doing everyone a favor while running their own developers to extreme exhaustion and almost suicidal levels of overwork and depression and forcing consumers to an inferior store, not just before a game comes out, but now after it's been out for years for no other reason than just to fill their own pockets more.
Look, if I was the owner of Psyonix, if I'm the CEO, I'm selling that mug. I am. Sorry. You can call me a capitalist pig. But look, I mean, you made the company, so you made an excellent game, and you sell the game to a bigger company. Fine. Notch did it with Minecraft, and it's still a successful game. People love Minecraft. People will love Rocket League.
You know Notch isn't a part of all of that anymore? They kicked him out? That's funny.
Oh, I don't know they kicked him out. I thought he just left.
Well, some of that, but like they just had a big celebration for Minecraft for whatever reason, and he wasn't even invited to be a part of it because of some of the things he tweets and stuff like that. Because like he's a troll or whatever.
Well, yeah, he's just a jerk. I wouldn't be a jerk.
I don't know. If they block me from playing games I want to play.
Yeah, that's not okay.
I'll be angry if they block me. But as long as I can continue to play the games I currently own, it's just annoying for now, although I don't like it. So anyways, come along with us to the episode proper. It's going to be a fun one. Lego.
You got me with the block, and then you just slapped me across the other cheek. I like it.
Both butt cheeks.
Yeah.
Oh, like in our retro game of the week, Lego Racers.
Overview.
Lego Racers is exactly what it sounds like.
It sounds like you build a car with Legos and then put it in your car and then race your friends.
What? That's not at all what it sounds like. It's a 1999 release that came out originally on PC and then also dropped for the Nintendo 64, as well as the PlayStation and the Game Boy Color soon after. It is published by Lego Media and developed by High Voltage Software.
And now I think Epic owns it or whatever.
Yeah, it's an Epic. It's found exclusively these days in the Epic online store.
It's an Epic original.
And this game is a race game, a racing game. It's exactly what Nolan said, except minus him trolling at the end. You build your very own race car out of Lego pieces digitally, which is not probably quite as fun as the real thing, but and then you get to race with that car in a series of competitions, mostly kind of single player mode, but a few others. And anyhow, an interesting take on the racing genre, and I enjoyed getting to build my own car. What did you guys think of that whole?
It's not an interesting take.
I also like how when you don't really have anything left to say, you kind of give your summary sentence, which is what we do at the very end of the episode. We build up to that, and you're like, so it's a 1999 title, and I give it my vote for New Game Plus.
But if there's a pass I was going to give Kenny, it'd be this game. Look. I don't think it's a kart racer game. It's very similar to Mario Kart in the format.
Well, yeah, and to be fair, I think you can probably say that about any kart racer after Super Mario Kart, or at least Super Mario Kart 64. Is that or Mario Kart 64?
If you're talking like kart racer specifically, there's lots of racing games that don't do the whole. Okay, yeah, then that's fair.
And there's maybe one unique thing here and then a couple of other copies from not necessarily Super Mario Kart, but a few other kart racing games. But yes, it's just, and it's among, and it's in the year and among those other titles, you might be familiar with some others that's not a straight up Nintendo property that when this was a big thing, everybody just kind of slapped their logo on the idea and created their own kind of kart game. So like there's probably 10 or a dozen even kart racing games in the late 80s. And this is just one of them, Lego themed.
Yeah. Although they did a really good job of doing the Lego theming, I think, well.
Are you giving it your vote again?
Yes. No. I just like you make it sound like it's this generic clone. And like there's some of that, but I don't know. I felt like
there's all of that. And we'll talk about it more. The game is for ages 6+. So we'll just start there.
Like Lego, like real Legos.
And so we do exactly fit like into real Legos. Like we do fit into that age range, but it's not specifically tailored for us.
Lego as a company and like nowadays is actually pretty good about getting into the different territories, like movies. Like they've got a Lego Movie. It was very successful. There's another one coming out, or it came out. I don't know. And like games, modern Lego games, people adore them, or some people do. I probably wouldn't care for them. But like, I feel like this was early on when they were starting to get into the gaming industry. And I think that's an important thing to consider.
Lego's first video game was in 95, but I think that was just like a small little thing. But in 97, so just a couple years before this one released, was Lego Island. And that was for PC. That was their first PC game. And that was the, I played that.
Dude,
I owned
no,
that.
No, 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 yeah. That okay, that's the game I thought this was, because of the way that this intro started when it like introduced the the logo and stuff. I was like, ooh, I had this game.
Yeah, and there's racing in Lego Island.
Yes.
So like, there's Lego Island. I remember it as being a cool title, but that's for sure going to be like one that's not going to age well, I feel like. But in 97, they started with their Lego titles, and then this was in 99. So they started somewhat slow, but as you just mentioned, I mean, they're right now, you know, within the last 5 years, they're all over.
They're booming.
The market with their movies and their video games. They do all of those licensed games now with Lego Harry Potters and Lego Star Wars
Batman.
And Lego. Yeah, anything. Like, it's Lego everything, and they're making it. And I don't know. What's that? Everything is Awesome? Isn't that a song from a Lego game?
Yeah.
A Lego movie?
It's from, I think, like, the original Lego movie.
Yeah.
Give it to us real quick, Kenny.
The entire movie?
No, the song.
Okay, screen is black. Cut. No, I don't
know. Give me the key of
C and I'll
hit you
with it. I watched
part of it,
and I know the song because everybody, well, the one line of the song, but I didn't actually watch the movie as much as I probably would have liked to.
Right, everything is...
Gameplay. When you start Lego Racers, you're given a few different options of what you want to do or how you want to play the game or what do you want to do first, whatever. You've got the customary options of like circuit race, single race versus race, time race. None of those are new. And I'll just start with one of the things that I think you can probably do it in some other kart racers, but I think that it specifically is needed in this game and is welcomed in this game. And you get even the first option is build.
As it should be with Lego stuff.
Yeah, it's got to be in there.
They mail you a packet of Legos and
you have to build the controller. And if you get it wrong, the car doesn't work.
Nintendo Labo?
You're on a set. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Hey,
so you don't, of course, you go into this very minimal building setup where you can build not only your cart, which is super nice, but you can build your character as well.
And I thought that was kind of cool. I always think the Lego games are interesting because of the build aspect and how you recognize some of the pieces. Like, I was really into Legos growing up, and so maybe it wouldn't connect if you didn't care about them, but like the skull head on like the Halloween builds or whatever, that's in the game. And so building my racer was kind of fun. And then you get to take a picture of their license even, which is whatever, but it's
and change
cool.
their expression on their face.
Can you do that?
You can.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
I got so stoked that I recognized some of my favorite minifig faces and pieces. And so it was really fun to me to go back. Now, they probably could have had more of them overall, but they did a really good job of A, making them actually look like the Lego minifigs, and two, like using assets and known popular characters and letting you kind of mix and match. So you got some of that customization, and it from the very beginning, I feel like the game felt really Lego-y because of that.
I did a first play this week on our YouTube channel, and I created Noel. N-O-L.
Yes, you did.
It's short for Nolan. I was having difficulty getting the letters, so I just went short with Noel. But
I go by Noel sometimes.
I created a skeleton racer, so I used that skeleton face again because I remembered it from childhood. We all had that figure. And then I built out the car, and then I went into racing, into a single race just to kind of test that. I did later in the week a few different builds on my car, and we'll have to talk through this, and I feel like we're going to land in slightly different places, but I was unimpressed and not saddened. I didn't invest emotion into this, but I was like, it was a letdown that in my experience, the design of your cart didn't seem to affect anything in the game. I thought that was a bummer.
Yeah, and that's a really big deal in Mario games. The carts that you unlock have different stats. And that's a big deal, especially for kart genre, for this genre, because you want it to look cool, yes, but you also want the fastest one.
I never verified because I created a cool custom car and then I spent all this time creating a cool custom car, so I was going to use that car no matter what. And so I didn't play around with the differences, but my understanding from just sort of reading about the game this week as well is that there is some difference, but I don't think it's based on aerodynamics or if you put a rocket on the back, you're going to go faster, or handling. I think it only has to do with number of blocks you use, and it's sort of just a weight thing, and maybe even a distribution of weight in front versus back. Apparently it is supposed to change it. I don't think it does in any kind of notable way, or it doesn't communicate that well. And so I do not know robust enough. The cars you unlock get better as you get cars.
Well, that what does?
That some of the cars you get that you win throughout the game are better than some of the ones that you just build.
See, and I don't know. I mean, I know you unlock more blocks or more cars from defeating some of the bosses, which we'll talk about, but man, I don't know. In my experience, none of the carts, you don't see any stats. And no, you said they're not in notable ways, but I think that's even being generous saying that there's any change at all. I really don't. I think that would be giving them too much credit, thinking they went in.
There may not be. That may have been me parroting someone's assumptions about the game. I'm not sure. I didn't verify that or anything, but there's at least someone in the world who believes that.
Yes. And I had seen that too. That's why I even prefaced what I was going to say. But that even sets up the conversation of what we're going for here is that even if there is, it's not clear enough. So it's it doesn't matter.
It would have been very cool if they described that more or talked you through how things worked, or when you made your car, showed a little screen of what its acceleration or its drag or its handling was going to be, even if it was just at the end of the process. That would have been super cool. And if the pieces you unlocked were faster, or you do something more aerodynamic and your car accelerates more quickly, whatever. That could have been really neat, but it would have been insanely complex for how much customization you can do on these things. Right. Already, the fact that you can completely customize a car and then have it show up at the end of the, in game, for as many varieties as they have and look pretty decent, was a little bit of a feat in my mind.
Well, and I know that even this coding and doing the whole build design and then letting you use that in game, I know that that was a challenge for them. You can read about it if you do your research, but to have that show up in the game, because they give you a lot of flexibility in the build design. You can build a horrendous cart that looks nothing like a cart.
Yeah.
And then you can strip it. You can make it look exactly like a race car. You can make it look like a huge block. You can make it look completely stripped down, so you're barely even driving anything. You have that complete flexibility. They were even wanting to, in the design, make it to where when you ran into walls or other players, that it knocked off some Lego pieces.
That would have been so cool.
Oh, that would have been amazing.
Especially if those Lego pieces had a strategic effect on how your car ran. Blow off somebody else's engine component and then they're slower.
That changes the game completely.
Yeah. It would have been amazing.
And then every time around the course, you can pull into your pit.
That'd be cool,
your cockpit, and you can get to repair and stuff like that. That's brilliant.
Or even just pick up repair pieces. There's a million ways they could have done that.
That does get complex, but that would have, we all just freaked out at the thought of that. So maybe they should have.
They definitely knew that they wanted to. The design intention was there, but the lift on that is crazy.
Intentions only work in horseshoes and hand grenades or something.
That's exactly the saying.
That's the phrase.
So a big component of what we have been referring to as cart games is picking up items, weapons, essentially, to use in the race against your opponents. And that's here in this game, too. So you will drive past blocks that look similar to they act similar to the little mystery boxes in Mario Kart. And figuring out what the little symbol does in the bottom left corner is a game in itself. So we have many games here. And I wanted to ask y'all if you had as much confusion as I did trying to decipher what I had in my inventory.
A few of them were really clear to me.
Ramen noodles?
And then a few of them looked nothing like what they did. But then once you use them once, you figure it out, and they do a relatively good job of like keeping the theming consistent. So
true. You've got
your red blocks, which are always attack based kinds of things. You've got
missiles,
right? Blue, missiles or other aggressive
blue,
kinds
blue,
of things.
Which is defense. Blue's defense. Mm-hmm. Green yellow is speed stuff. Yellow is hazards that you drop.
Right. Okay, and so they stay on theme there.
They stay on theme there, but and they only have like two, maybe three different kinds per one as you mm-hmm. continue to progress. But that at first, yes, I was super confused, but then I started to understand it. The only thing that completely confused me and I had to really look up, and I probably could have gotten it after a while, was what the white power-up blocks mm-hmm. do.
Yeah, so when you I still don't know. But what I thought it was, when you pick up a block, it's a white blank slate in the corner, and then you build onto it because it shows like a little block. When you pick up a different color one, it builds onto it, and then you get something. But what's the point of the blank slate?
But Nolan doesn't know what it does. Do you know, Kenny?
Yeah. So each of your colors have upgrades.
Yeah.
And those white pieces represent like the level of upgrade that you get for each of those. So you've got your basic attack missile,
one, two, three.
Then you can like upgrade it three levels to get three like better attacks. And the same with your defense. And gotcha. Some of those are very different, and some of them are, I don't know.
It's a power-up. So basically it makes whatever other power you're holding or like ability you're holding, it makes it more powerful. Either it's first level, second level, or third level. And at first, you get to play around with that. You can beat a couple circuits before, because by the way, circuits that's your bread and butter here. That's the main game that you're going to be playing.
Yeah, but it's kind of the story mode and how you unlock things. It's everything.
Sure. And at first, you'll use them. You can have some fun with them. But by the end, the difficulty ramps up so significantly that you have to kind of master using not only these power-ups, but the power-ups to the power-ups, those white blocks that we're talking about, so that you can actually win. Because in each circuit, you're not only racing against other racers that their names don't matter. You've got a boss to each circuit. So you've got Captain Redbeard, King Kahuka, and some other guys. They're the hosting champion of the circuit.
Are those the bosses you were talking about?
Those are the bosses.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, and you race them in a circuit, so you race them at like two or three different courses, and whoever wins them, you know, has the best ranking after those two or three courses is the winner. Yep. And if you beat them, you unlock their Lego set so that you can use their blocks, you open up a new circuit, and then you can go to the new boss, and you can continue to play through that. And I think there's maybe five or eight of those guys.
I like the beat them, get their stuff model. It worked great for Pogs, and I'm still a fan of it all these years later.
Oh, God.
So Lego Racers is Pogs.
That's all you had to say. So determining what they did, that was one thing. But the bigger issue is balance. And you already have, like, in Mario Kart, the blue shell. Everyone hates the blue shell. It's really cheap. Yes, but the rest of the items are fairly balanced and take some skill to use. This game had, like, a really overpowered one that, like, just put you in first place. The teleport thing.
Yeah, so that's completely OP. So the first, I think the first two levels of it just speed you up, but the third level is a warp, a teleport that puts you so much further ahead of the game. And so if you get your three white blocks along with your green, right, one green block, which is your warp, or at least one of them, then you can. You do that warp forward, and if you strategically know where those white blocks are and where those green blocks are, then you are going to be unstoppable. That's how I ended up playing this game.
You can cheap out the whole game, and that's not fun.
There's never difficulty finding the green block. Like, I hit other colors when I was collecting stuff all the time, or that, like, some of the white blocks are hidden behind barriers, and there's this whole strategy of like get them, don't get them. It's not like they just made one automatic win button. There's still some strategy there on which blocks to get and when, but the warp is for sure overpowered.
I think I just like the randomized model better than like, oh, there are multicolored blocks or items that you can get, and you have to like there's strategy to it. I think I just like the random. It's more balanced.
Yeah, I like the strategy. And I love that you build it, because that's so Lego. It's not like just one level. It's like you're getting a power up and then you're getting another block that makes that block better. And it, I don't know. It just felt really on theme and made me think more about what I was doing than most power ups, which is just like grab something and then immediately use it.
With these racers, especially with these kart racers, handling is important, which we can talk about in a bit. Next. But the design of the tracks, I think, is what's super important. Like, are they smooth? Are you able to find? Are there like secret routes?
Shortcuts.
Yeah, shortcuts. Are you able to find them? Does it matter? Are you all of that stuff? I'd love to know your opinions on some of the track designs. Did you think they were good? Did you think they were comparable with some of the other ones we've seen in other kart racers? Do you think there's issues or problems with them? What are your thoughts?
I think they tried with like hazards. So what I mean by that is on lap one, for instance, you will go around a curve, no problem, big deal. Like, and then the first one, it's like you're next to water or something. And in the second lap, a crane will swing in that same curve that was safe before. That's good design. It's frustrating maybe, but that's part of kart games. Like the track is alive essentially and does different things. And I think that's cool, but they only had like one of those per level. And I felt like it was kind of lacking, like the swinging hammer thing on one of the circuits. But I felt like the stages were lacking in like, in design, in that kind of mechanic.
Like in substance, in depth, yes. That it was like kind of shallow.
And yeah, I mean, it was just very bare. Yeah.
Kenny, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree much. I like that there were shortcuts and that they were, for the most part, actually discoverable on your own. Sometimes that can be way too obscure to find those things. And I stumbled across a few on my own, which was cool, and they actually felt like they made a difference. That's always welcome. But I agree, the design itself was a little bit simplistic. And what bothered me most is the recycling of design. I know to some degree, kid game, and to some degree, like using your assets well, you know, from a design point of view. But some of the maps you play once and then you end up playing them much later in the game. And it's
just
make
it green or something.
Yeah, in terms of layout. And that just felt kind of lazy to me. And so I didn't think the design was bad, but it certainly wasn't the best aspect of this game. And they were fine courses for what you were trying to do, but nothing special.
And some of them didn't feel like Lego, you know? They just felt like they just had different themes like Amazon, but like there was nothing Lego about the Amazon level. It was just you're in the jungle. And I thought that they could have done more with like blocks and, you know, they're very self-aware in these games in meta, in the fact that they like play off the whole building thing. And I felt like they stopped at the car and the character. And then
I think that's a super interesting discussion, something I have down in my notes. And I think it's a great transition into our next section to talk about that.
Aged.
I think largely it's not difficult to do graphics for a Lego game, because if you're creating, right, if you're creating Legos, the Lego design and all that stuff, that's not like the most artistic, like just beautiful things. It's these blocks that are built together. So I think that you can do that. So I think what really has to shine is the stages. And as we were just talking about, and Nolan, you kind of said right before we came into this section, is that you at least alluded to, the stages are just lacking and uninspired. And I was so, like, I thought, I was expecting the stages, I don't know, to be made of Lego bricks. If not the stages, then maybe some of the obstacles or something. But there are very few, if any, parts of the stage that are actually built out of Lego bricks, even when they could have been.
They did do a good job of following themes, like actually in Lego universe established sets, and then like took the themes from that. And I think that's cool.
And they
at least tried to go for the aesthetic, but I agree. You can tell that they're sort of the things they put development time into to make this game different wasn't the stages. It was building custom cars. It was that piece. And I think that was complex enough that some of the other elements of the game probably just didn't get as much love as they could have, or as much like Lego style theming.
And we mentioned it's on PC, and like, I'm wondering, definitely limitation of the console there, like graphic wise, like think about N64, you're not getting super detailed. It's pretty polygon, but I wonder if the other versions are identical, because I would guess they are, but I only played N64, yeah, so I don't know.
I would assume they're similar, but I didn't look into it. I will say that as much as they did a good job with theme in general, like from as we're talking about design, I also thought that there was just sort of a lack of like texture. Like the cars definitely looked fine, and they, you know, they tried to give color and vibrancy, and everything like moved okay and was responsive and whatever, but it just felt like
it's just a solid color.
It almost felt like a beta of the game. You know, like, hey, we're still developing these textures. Like when it's out in 6 months, you'll see it fully in it.
Yeah.
It was just a little flat on that front, I thought.
That's what I'm thinking. And you have to play these stages multiple times. That's right. How the circuits are set up, that you play them multiple times. And everything from the floor to like the mountain walls to the textures of the bridges and the rare like set pieces, I think they're, I don't know, I just think it's all limited and uninspired and in a not good way and a not Lego way, like blocky. And I don't know. I thought that. And so like, if that's not going to work, okay, then let's do it in the music. But I think the music is redundant and uninspired and not memorable.
And what even is Lego music? You know, like, well,
but so have something fun and kiddy, but it was not a track kiddie that is like 30 seconds long.
Nolan dropping the big philosophical questions.
What is
Lego music?
Well, it's not this. I agree. It was hella repetitive, but like also extremely kiddy, like too much. It was like a circus. That is what it reminded me of.
It
I don't know.
Lean that way. And I think on purpose, like there were a lot of overt things that showed they were designing this with kids in mind. And again, they've gotten way better as Lego of making kids that are games that are kid accessible, but still grown up friendly. I think some of the later ones in the series, once you get to like Xbox and later, they do a great job with that. But even when you try and like do option settings and change stuff, it's like, hey, you might want to get a parent to make sure you're not making a mistake. Like, it's kind of silly.
That's one of the warnings in this game.
Right. Yeah, you get this, that warning in if you're, like, changing sound options or something. And so, yeah, it's a reality when you cater to that audience that you're going to have some of that vibe.
Yeah, but I feel like we've played, I don't know, I rarely look at the age, you know, for of the games that we play, like the age of we're in the player age section now. I rarely look at the what they're wanting the age of the player to be or what they're aiming for.
For everyone.
For this one, I guess that's what it's more so like nowadays. It's not just like, hey, 6-year-olds should play this, but it's like everyone can play this. I think that's some of the problem. When you create a game specifically for a small group of people, and I know they say 6 and plus, but by 6 and plus, they mean 6 and 7 is what they mean in this game. And so I
wasn't
think that
bad.
I think at age 6 and 7, that can work. But I think anything past that, you see the limitations of music and graphics and stage design. And we mentioned it earlier and said we were going to talk about it. So what about handling? Again, in racing games, you need that. You need the e-brake. You need you need to be able to go on tight corners, all of those things.
I'll say the handling
I didn't think
terrible.
It was horrendous.
Yeah, it was a pleasant surprise to have a handbrake that actually functioned okay. And it wasn't like I was expecting way worse, but course they slacked off in other areas and we've mentioned that. But you know, the handling could have been much worse. It wasn't amazing, but
It felt responsive to me. I quickly got the hang of it. Each one of these games sort of has their own vibe of how your cars interact with the environment and, you know, how tight the handling is and everything else. And I picked this one up relatively quickly. It felt, I don't know, it felt good to me. Not like great, like it was the best thing ever, but you pick it up and can play it and it's not going to be a distraction.
And it doesn't matter when you can just warp to the first position and win. So
hey, get off my
forget
like,
handling.
Secret. That's how I played this game.
Yeah, I think kart games... And the reason why Mario Kart beats them all is because you care about the characters. Like, who do you pick in Mario Kart? I pick Yoshi. And I love playing Yoshi, and I'll always play Yoshi. But in this game, it's like, yeah, it's cool. I built my character. I can play him. I recognize some of the pieces. But you don't care about beating a no-name Lego character behind you or Captain Jack or whatever. So That was also a component that I feel like is just a hurdle for the genre. So the boss thing that they added helps there, but like, just don't make a cart game.
And see, I disagree with you in the sense that, like, that's not why I enjoy the Mario Kart games. I'll just say that I like kart games were not created for
that's
me.
Fine,
I'm,
yeah.
I'm not good at those and don't necessarily care and don't enjoy. Like, when I played the Mario, I don't remember if it was Super Mario Kart, I think it was, but it was probably available in Mario Kart 2, or sorry, Mario Kart 64 as well. I enjoy the popping balloons thing more than I do the racing. Like, I enjoy some of those mini games available in it. But what I like about Mario Kart 64 and the Mario version of these, and even Double Dash and Diddy Kong Racing and those things, is that the stages are inspired, the handling is tight, like, it just feels more substantial. This, to me, really feels like they wanted to hop on what everyone else was doing, so they pretty much took the coding but only got part of it and then just put their wrapping over it. And so if you love Legos and you're 6 or 7 years old, it works. But I think that it's such a narrow audience to hit.
Yeah, just build Legos. It's a lot of fun, actually. I love Lego sets. Like, that was a quality gift as a kid, so just build Legos.
That being said, Lego Racers was popular enough because they did make a sequel, Lego Racers 2, which came out for the PC and the PlayStation 2 and the Game Boy Advance, I believe.
I think so.
In 2001. So play it. Or,
no. Yeah.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not this game gets our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down, requires 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or another. Kenny, take the honors and lead us.
I will. According to Dustin's rules, I am 6 or 7 years old and like playing with Legos because I had a fun time with this game this week. It's not a perfect game. Definitely, it's the hop on the bandwagon, push something out because it's a popular genre thing. Like, that happens. Sure, it could have used 6 months more of development to round up some of the things that they didn't do that they could have. But I felt like the racing was pretty fun, and the Lego branding on the pieces that you could was crazy. Getting to totally customize your own car digitally out of Legos and then get new Lego pieces to build in later and continue customizing and build exactly what you want and then get to race that around. That's a dream come true. And though the interface is a little rough, they did that well. And again, could have had more variety with the weapons, but I had so much fun with those and upgrading. The first moment that I got to grappling hook my way up to a guy in front of me and like close the gap with a chain that attached to the enemy and pulled me forward, I was like, they're rocking it with this game. Not perfect. I had a lot of fun playing it despite some of its flaws. And so I'm giving a relatively big thumbs up to Lego Racers.
So is that a no for you?
I'm shocked.
False. Had fun with Nolan? This.
Sure. No.
Nolan is not 6 or 7. He's 48 and doesn't like playing with Legos.
It's just that I would recommend you play a modern Lego game. This was them starting. It's not fun to play, but we don't know about Shakespeare's first play. We know, well, maybe we do. I don't know much about him. We know about Romeo and Juliet.
We're talking about Shakespeare and Romeo and Juliet in a Lego Racers podcast?
Yeah.
Sure.
Because this was their first attempt at getting into gaming, I guess, or one of the first attempts. And it's just not good. But the new ones apparently are good. I've heard really good things. So maybe just don't play this game.
So we are again at the crossroads. Listen, I'm just not a suspense kind of guy, so I'll go ahead and give my thoughts and say that Lego Racers, from me, may or may not get it. You'll have to wait and see.
Like, I'm waiting on that other sneak peek at the end.
Bringing that back around. Mm-hmm. Hey, stay tuned to the end. We've got some exciting news to share with you guys. I think Lego Racers is an uninspired clone.
Yeah.
And there are many that tried to do it around the same time And I haven't played them all, but would largely say to not play those and instead play the forerunners and the ones that did it best. It's not all just the Mario ones, but a lot of them are the Nintendo ones. But I think didn't even Crash Bandicoot have a good racing game?
Probably. Diddy Kong Racing was excellent, but that
Diddy
was
Kong
also
Racing
Nintendo.
For sure, but that's Nintendo, right? So I was just trying to think of something that was slightly outside of that box. I don't know. But there are a few good ones out there that have a few good tweaks or things like that that make it worth trying. I don't think Lego Racing is unique enough. The handling surprised me, but everything else fell flat. So Lego Racers does not get New Game Plus status from me, which means that Lego Racers is not New Game Plus certified.
Y'all missed it on this one.
No, we really did not.
And that also, we'll either go, we'll switch our decision for this one or Civilization 2. You pick this one, fine. All right, we'll go with this one.
You were more wrong on Civilization 2.
Listen,
you've been much more wrong on a lot of games, but.
Listen. We have been playing too many bad games.
Yeah, it's been a run.
We need to change that around. Stay tuned to the end of the episode and you'll be able to find out if we're going to be able to do that. But we did have one person write in. Chris said, I rented this game once from Blockbuster and don't remember being very thrilled with it. This game would be good if it had a decent multiplayer, but the only versus option is a 1x1, one by one, 1v1 race with no CPU. That was a big letdown for me. So that's the email, Chris. I have got to agree with you. We forgot to mention, I mean, we did say that versus is an option, but in the prime of four player split screen, they didn't even do that.
That's true.
Yeah, I'll give that as a big negative.
So you change your vote?
No, I'm not changing my vote.
So that's three no's.
Yeah, it is not New Game Plus certified. Multiplayer was a must at the time because it was still like you said, the four player split screen was hot and you needed to have that. And it was fun. You can make it fun, but one on one against no one else is not fun with a racing game. That's a death match.
Chris, thank you for writing in. You can always send in your thoughts on the retro game of the week to ngppodcast@gmail.com or just go to our website, ngppodcast.com. And there's a section there where you can just write in, send us your commentary. We'll include it on each and every episode on the games that you want to write in about. So please feel free to do that. And at this point in the episode, we typically randomly select the next game that we're going to be playing for the next 7 days, but we're not randomizing this week.
I would normally say boo, but I'm a little hype. I'm very hype.
This is the news that we've all been waiting for. We piqued your interest at the start of the episode, and that's why you've been listening this whole time.
Unless you skipped forward.
If you skipped forward, stop. We're not going to tell you. You need to go back to the beginning and listen to the rest of the episode.
Welcome back. Okay.
Welcome back for those of you that have listened through the whole episode. We want to tell you, typically when we do this, it's because we have a guest coming up that picked a game. And that's what happened this time. But it's not just that we have a guest joining us next episode. It's that we have a unique guest and a unique game and a unique episode all together. For the very first time, we will not be playing and not be reviewing a retro video game.
Boo.
It almost feels blasphemous to say that. I think when people realize why we made that choice, I think they'll be on board with what we decided to do this week.
It's not almost. It feels really weird to say that. I don't like to say that. You've got to know us by now. We're 181 episodes deep and we've never done this before. So if we're doing this now, there's good reason for it.
And we probably will never do it again, but we didn't think we'd do it in the first place. So we'll see.
Yeah, so stay tuned for why we're doing that.
That's a whole nother episode.
We will be playing a retro-styled video game, and due to the guest, we are more than okay with making the exception. In episode 135, we played a game called Diablo. Mm-hmm. And in episode 176, just recently, we played Diablo 2.
Mm-hmm.
And there is one man
time.
Responsible for the creation, design, and programming of the first two Diablo titles. He was the co-founder and president of Blizzard North for a decade. GameSpot named him as 1996 fourth most influential person in computer gaming, and he will be joining us on the show next week to talk about the action role-playing video game that he is now on his own developing and working on, and it is called It Lurks Below.
Man, that build-up, that was good.
Wasn't it good?
Yeah, you didn't ever even drop his name in all of that hype, though. David Brevet is going to be on the show with us next week.
Yes, he will. Man. And first of all, that's super exciting. Second of all, thank you to our listeners who kind of reach out to him. I think Hookshot in particular, we've named him a lot lately. He just kind of took liberties and reached out to David and said, hey, these guys played Diablo 2 this week and blah, blah, blah. But from there, we were able to connect with David. David's going to come on next week, and we are going to be playing his retro-styled game that he's working on now called It Lurks Below. It's available on Steam in a, what is it? It's alpha, beta?
Yeah, it's in an early access mode. The game early isn't access, finished, but it's playable and accessible. And
he's currently releasing updates for it and working on it. Like, he's done the art, he's done the coding, he's done the sound. Like, it's his game, 100%.
Every bit of it. And we're super excited to play it, super excited to have him on the show next week. Make sure to tweet out to him and tell him you're excited about him joining New Game Plus this week and play It Lurks Below along with us.
And if you're a big David Brevik fan, know that we will, of course, have some conversation as well about Diablo and Diablo 2 and just get all his perspective on video gaming and retro gaming as well. So it's going to be a really great episode. We're super excited to have him and can't wait to share it with you guys.
Discord, we have one. We'd love for you to join us. Discord is a chat program, voice and text, mostly text for New Game Plus purposes. And you can go to ngppodcast.com and click on Join Us in Discord, and you'll get the invite link. Come hang out.
We want to say a big shout out to our supporters on patreon.com. Our patrons are near and dear to our heart. We always want to give a big shout out to our producer level supporters, Dear Baby, Grim, Zach, and Zion. But another shout out this week specifically to Keegan, who joined the New Game Plus Patreon family for the first time. So Keegan, thanks for your support. And a big thanks to Chris as well, who upped his support this week.
Thank you. Thanks, and Chris. As you could tell, we've got a couple less producers than we did a couple months ago. So we've got open positions. If you want to send in your resume and become one of our producers,
we're hiring.
Feel free to do so. We are, well, the reverse of that.
You're hiring us.
You're hiring. You're hiring. You can find us on our social media sites. That's Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch at NGP Podcast. Ooh, Nolan's been streaming a little Sekiro. A
lot of Sekiro. I'm addicted.
You can go to YouTube and find us at New Game Plus Podcast to find our regular video content. One of us, I believe Kenny, is going to be doing a first play of It Lurks Below this week, or at least a play.
Second play.
You can listen to us directly on any podcast provider of your choice. Make sure you subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, leave a kind rating and review. This episode was edited and produced by our friend Tom Tate. Join us next week as we play It Lurks Below. And until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
I'm the Paladin.
And
it's LEGO a class Razzolo reference. And
LEGO Racers? A class in LEGO Racers.
You'll figure it out, Dustin.
And this has been New Game Plus. Welcome to New Game Plus. You
I've still got a little cold sinus stuff going on.
All right. Let's try it again.
Keep that in.
One more time. That was so funny.